There is a power that doesn't speak, it doesn't post, it doesn't perform, it doesn't ask to be seen. It's simply quiet, grounded, unshakable. It's not the kind of power that demands attention. It's the kind that makes attention irrelevant. And that's what most people never understand, that real strength is silent. Real focus doesn't announce itself. Real transformation begins not with noise, but with stillness. Is. Is. We live in a world obsessed with visibility, where everything, thoughts, goals, even healing, is broadcast in real time, where progress is measured by how many see it, not how deeply it's rooted. But the Stoics knew better. They knew that what grows in silence lasts longer, that what's done without applause carries more weight. They lived by a code that rejected performance in favor of presence. Not just presence in the room, but presence in the self. This episode is not about being cold, emotionless, or withdrawn. It's about building inner order in a world addicted to outward validation. It's about reclaiming your energy, protecting your focus, and choosing not to perform, but to live intentionally. To act from principle, not from impulse. To find peace in invisibility and power in restraint. The Stoic doesn't need to be seen. He needs to be clear. She doesn't need to speak. She needs to act. Because when your actions are aligned, your words become optional. And when your mind is silent, not empty, but centered, there is no noise that can distract you. So if you're ready to stop performing and start embodying, if you're tired of the noise and hungry for clarity, these 12 Stoic principles will help you build a kind of power that no one sees coming, because it doesn't come to be seen, it comes to be. 1. Let silence be your foundation. In a world that measures worth by visibility, choosing silence feels almost rebellious. But it's not a retreat, it's a return to depth, to focus, to yourself. Because while noise may grab attention, silence builds substance. And what you build in silence will always outlast what was built for applause. The Stoics understood this on a profound level. They weren't silent because they lacked words. They were silent because they owned them. Because they refused to waste speech on what didn't serve principle, because they knew real power is built in the dark, far from the stage. We talk too much, we explain, overshare, defend our thoughts before we've fully lived them. We announce goals instead of building them. We rant instead of reflect. And the problem isn't the talking, it's the timing. Speaking too early gives you the illusion of progress. It tricks the brain into thinking you've done the work, when all you've done is talk about doing it. And nothing collapses growth faster than mistaking performance for purpose. Let's be honest, silence makes most people uncomfortable. It reveals things you've been avoiding, indecision, fear, doubt. It creates a space where excuses can't hide behind noise. But that discomfort is the point. That's where your foundation begins. Because when you choose silence, you're not choosing absence, you're choosing intention. You're saying, I don't need to explain this yet, I need to embody it first. Silence is where the roots grow. Think of it like planting a tree. If you dig it up every day to show people how it's coming along, it'll never take hold. Growth happens below the surface. Where no one claps, where no one checks in, where the work is unseen, uncelebrated, but real. That's why Stoics built their lives like temples, slow, quiet, steady. Each value, each principle, each habit, another stone laid in silence. And here's what happens when silence becomes your foundation. Your actions stop needing explanations. Your presence speaks before you do. You move through the world with a kind of stillness that unsettles people. not because it's cold, but because it's clear. You're not rushing to be understood. You're too busy understanding yourself. But let's be clear, silence is not inaction. It's not passivity. It's focused restraint. It's removing the noise so the signal can strengthen. It's the space where real commitment is forged, and in a world constantly trying to distract you, choosing silence is the first act of defiance and the first step toward mastery. So ask yourself, am I building in silence or just speaking loudly about what I haven't done yet? Am I laying bricks or just narrating the blueprint? Because a house prays too early falls, but a house built in silence, it stands. 2. Speak less, do more. There's a trap that catches even the most well-intentioned minds, talking about doing the thing instead of doing the thing. It's subtle. You tell a friend about your new plan, you post a goal on social media, you write it in a caption with good lighting and the perfect quote. And in that moment, your brain feels satisfied. It feels as if you've already made progress. But you haven't. You've only borrowed the feeling of momentum without earning any of the results. That's the danger of speaking too soon. It gives you the reward without the work. The Stoics knew this deeply. They didn't speak of discipline, they lived it. They didn't announce their virtues, they trained in them quietly, in the background of life, where no one clapped. Epictetus reminded us that if you want to be a philosopher, act like one, not talk like one, not sound wise, not convince others of your potential, but live the identity through action, through consistency, through quiet proof. And that's the essence of this principle. Stop performing your progress. Start becoming it. Think about the difference between someone who constantly talks about what they're going to do and someone who just does it. One fills the air with intention, the other builds silently. One craves validation, the other craves results. And it's always the second who endures, not because they're better, but because their energy goes inward, into effort, not outward, into performance. Speaking about your goals isn't bad, but doing it too often, too early, can backfire. It relieves the internal pressure you need to push forward. It exposes your ambition to opinions, resistance, and noise before it's strong enough to stand. That's why the Stoic path is inward-facing. It's not about secrecy, it's about stability. The deeper your roots, the less you need to prove. The more you act, the less you need to explain. Let's make this real. You want to start working out. The average person posts a gym selfie before breaking a sweat. The Stoic? They show up for 30 days without saying a word. You want to build a business? The average person talks about ideas, shares motivational quotes, maybe launches something prematurely. The Stoic? They study, prepare, execute quietly, and let the results speak years later. This isn't just preference, it's strategy, because momentum thrives in stillness, not spotlight. This doesn't mean you go silent out of fear or false humility. It means you protect the sacred energy of becoming. You let your efforts mature in the dark, away from the distortion of outside praise or doubt. You stop using your voice to broadcast potential and start using your days to shape it. And here's what happens when you speak less and do more. You become undeniable. Not because you convinced anyone, but because your results walked into the room first. You carry a different kind of presence, not loud, but weighty. People feel it in how you move, how you decide, how you no longer need to explain who you are, because your work already has. So ask yourself, where am I leaking energy through talk? Where am I narrating a story I haven't lived yet? And what would happen if I just shut the door, put my head down, and got to work, quietly, consistently, and relentlessly. Because in the end, the ones who carry the weight are the ones who don't need to talk about it. 3. Don't share the seed, water it. Every idea, every goal, every dream you have is a seed, fragile at first, needing care, protection, and time. But most people never let their seed take root because they expose it too early. They announce it, show it off, talk about what it will be before they've given it a chance to become anything at all. And in doing so, they rob it of its most vital stage, the dark, quiet phase of unseen growth. The Stoics knew the danger of premature exposure. They didn't parade their intentions. They protected them. They nurtured them in solitude. Because they understood a deep truth about life and nature, roots form in silence, strength forms in silence, growth that lasts begins in the dark. Imagine a gardener who plants a seed, then digs it up every day to show people how it's doing. What happens? It dies. Not from lack of potential, but from lack of privacy. Your goals are the same. They don't need validation in their early stages. They need focus. They need time to become something real before they're exposed to noise, opinions, and judgment. Sharing the seed is tempting. It makes you feel accountable, seen, admired maybe. But that admiration can backfire. It satisfies your ego too early. You get the emotional reward before the result, and that kills hunger. It numbs the drive. It makes you feel closer to the outcome than you actually are. And worst of all, it opens you up to external doubt before your internal conviction is strong enough to withstand it. That's why the Stoic keeps their ambitions private in the beginning. Not out of fear, but out of respect. Respect for the process. Respect for how delicate early growth truly is. They don't need to post their habits. They don't need to explain their goals. They just water them, quietly, daily, in the dark. Let's bring this into real life. You want to start a business. You don't need to announce it to 100 people on day one. You need to study the craft, design the plan, take the steps. You want to change your health? Don't post your gym schedule. Just train. Just eat clean. Just rest. Just repeat. Then one day someone sees you, stronger, more grounded, focused, and asks, "What changed?" And you'll smile, knowing it all happened long before anyone noticed. This principle isn't about hiding. It's about honoring the natural rhythm of growth. A tree doesn't bloom overnight. A building doesn't rise without a blueprint. A character worth admiring isn't shaped in public. It's built in silence, through choices made when no one's clapping, when no one's watching, and when the only witness is your own soul. So ask yourself, what seeds have I exposed too early? What would happen if I stopped explaining and started watering? Am I trying to harvest before I've even rooted? Because when the roots are deep, when they've had time to grow in peace, there is no need to fear the wind, no need to explain the process, and no need to prove anything to anyone. Your work will speak when it's ready. Until then, protect the seed. 4. Resist the dopamine of validation. Validation feels good, but it can quietly poison your discipline. Every like, comment, compliment, it rewards the ego before the soul has earned anything real. It gives you the emotional high of achievement without the actual achievement. And the more you feed on that external approval, the more you train your mind to crave it. Over time, you're no longer acting from purpose. You're performing for response. You become addicted to being seen instead of becoming someone worth seeing. The Stoics warned against this need to be praised because it makes you weak, not loud and dramatic, but subtly, invisibly. You start needing feedback to stay motivated. You measure success not by internal alignment, but by external applause. You lose touch with the deepest kind of reward, the quiet peace that comes from knowing you're on your path, doing your work, whether or not anyone notices. Think about how often we interrupt our own process just to get a little hit of validation. You're working on something meaningful, and you stop to share it. Not because it's done, not because it's ready, but because you want to feel a little spark of attention. And in doing so, you fracture your focus. You dilute your drive. You give away the most sacred part of growth, the privacy that gives it power. This is not to say that recognition is bad. It's not. It's human to want to be seen. But the Stoic doesn't need to be seen. That's the difference. They train their mind to find satisfaction in the work itself. They detach the action from the outcome. The process is the prize. And anything extra? That's a bonus, not a fuel source. Let's be practical. You've been consistent in your habits, improving yourself quietly. Then someone notices, compliments you. Suddenly, you feel amazing. But here's the danger. Now you expect to be noticed. And when the compliments stop, so does your consistency. Why? Because your discipline was never rooted in you. It was rented from someone else's approval. To build silent inner power, you have to detox from this. You have to starve the need to be seen. You have to find joy in showing up, not in being clapped for. You have to keep going when no one says a word. Let that silence become your signal that you're finally doing it for the right reason. This doesn't mean isolating yourself or living without connection. It means grounding your motivation internally. It means creating without craving attention, training without needing praise, healing without needing to be pitied, building in such alignment that even if the world stays silent, you still rise. So ask yourself, am I doing this because it's right, or because I want to be recognized? Could I keep going if no one ever thanked me, liked it, or even noticed? Because validation is sweet, but it's hollow. And when you train your mind to love the work itself, not the reaction to it, you become unshakable. Applause fades, but quiet progress, it echoes for a lifetime. 5. Your work is not performance. At some point you have to decide, am I doing this to be seen or to be solid? Because the difference is everything. One is rooted in ego, the desire to impress, to be admired, to be validated. The other is rooted in integrity, the commitment to growth, even when no one's watching, even when no one cares. And here's the quiet truth. The moment you start doing your work for reaction, you've already lost your direction. The Stoics were painfully clear about this. They taught that virtue must exist for its own sake, that a good act loses its purity the moment it's performed for praise. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself constantly not to paint a perfect picture of who he was becoming, but to become it humbly through action, through repetition, through silent work that needed no audience. But in today's world, everything is performance. Every good deed is followed by a post. Every transformation is followed by a caption. Every moment of healing or discipline or success becomes content. And slowly, without realizing it, we stop living for our own alignment and start living for other people's attention. Here's the danger. When your work becomes performance, you become dependent on the crowd. If they cheer, you continue. If they don't, you start questioning everything. And that's when your consistency dies. That's when your purpose fades. Not because you didn't have what it takes, but because your fuel was never pure. Real growth doesn't need to be seen. Real healing doesn't need to be posted. Real transformation happens quietly, often awkwardly, with no spotlight and no applause. Let's say you're helping others, mentoring, supporting, guiding. If you're doing it to be seen as wise or kind, then what happens when no one acknowledges your effort? You burn out. You resent. But if you're doing it because it aligns with your soul, then the result is irrelevant. You showed up because it was right, not because it would be rewarded. Or maybe you're learning, reading, improving yourself. If your drive is to appear intelligent, you'll never take risks. You'll only speak when you're sure you'll sound smart. But if your goal is truth, if you're genuinely committed to wisdom, you'll embrace the awkward moments, the silent hours, the slow mastery. Because your pursuit is rooted in something deeper than performance, it's rooted in becoming. This doesn't mean you can't share your journey, but you have to be honest. Why am I sharing this? To serve or to be celebrated? Because the ego is sneaky. It can turn even noble actions into theater if you're not careful. The Stoic response: return. Return to intention. Return to the quiet. Let your actions be enough. Let your habits speak louder than your words. Let the result become your voice, not your marketing strategy. Because the moment you free yourself from the need to be impressive, you finally become real. So ask yourself, if no one ever saw me do this, would I still do it? If no one clapped, no one cared, no one responded, would I still choose this path? Because when you stop working to be seen and start working to be aligned, that's when everything shifts. That's when the noise fades and the power begins. 6. Anchor your discipline in solitude. True discipline isn't forged in noise. It's built in stillness. Not in the rush of praise or the pressure of deadlines, but in the quiet spaces where no one is checking on you. No accountability partner, no audience, no applause. Just you. And the question, will I do what I said I would do, even when no one will ever know? That's where real discipline begins. In the solitude where excuses echo loudest and you still choose to move anyway. We're taught to associate discipline with external structure. Alarms, routines, reminders, gym partners. And while those can help, they're not the foundation, they're scaffolding. The Stoics understood that the most reliable discipline is self-generated. Epictetus lived in poverty, with no privilege or comfort, and yet became one of the clearest voices in philosophical discipline, because he trained his mind in isolation, in difficulty, in solitude. Solitude strips you of excuses. It reveals your true level of commitment. There's no one to impress, no one to disappoint, just you and your word. And that's where it gets real. Because in that space, you can no longer lie to yourself. You either act or you don't. And that brutal honesty, that's a gift, because it forces you to build strength from the inside out. Think about early mornings. The alarm goes off. It's dark. No one's watching. No one will know if you stay in bed. That moment, it's sacred. Because how you respond when there's no audience determines who you become when there is one. Or imagine working on your craft, your writing, your business, your health, when there's no deadline, no pressure, no spotlight, just your own standard, your own hunger. That's where the disciplined are separated from the distracted. And yes, solitude can be uncomfortable. It can bring up the voices you've been avoiding. Fear, doubt, hesitation. But those voices aren't the enemy. They're signals, invitations. When you meet them with stillness instead of distraction, you begin to understand yourself. You begin to train your focus. You begin to turn your mind from a battlefield into a fortress. The modern world hates solitude. It fills every silence. Every free moment is met with a screen, a scroll, a sound. But if you want real inner power, you have to reclaim that quiet. You have to protect it. Carve out time where it's just you and the work. No commentary, no broadcasting, just presence. Because when you anchor your discipline in solitude, it becomes yours. Not something borrowed from a system, not something dependent on motivation, but something unshakable, something rooted in your values, your vision, your word. So ask yourself, when was the last time I practiced discipline with no external reward? Do I rely on pressure to stay consistent, or have I built a rhythm I can hold in silence? Who am I when it's just me and the work? Because that version of you, that silent, consistent, self-led version of you, that's the one who doesn't just do the work, they become the work. And once your discipline lives in solitude, the world can't take it from you. 7. Detach from praise. Praise is seductive. It feels like proof, like progress, like a green light that says you're on the right track. But if you're not careful, it becomes a leash, one so subtle you don't realize it's there until you stop moving. Because when your effort is tied to being noticed, you've already given your power away. You're no longer acting from principle, you're performing for approval. And the moment that approval disappears, so does your consistency. The Stoics knew this danger well. They warned against becoming addicted to the opinions of others. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself that fame is empty noise, that what truly matters is doing what's right, whether or not anyone sees it, praises it, or agrees with it. Because praise, while pleasant, is unstable. It depends on moods, trends, biases. One day you're admired, the next forgotten. And if your motivation rises and falls with applause, you'll never build anything that lasts. Let's be honest, we all crave recognition. It's human. But discipline isn't about denying emotion. It's about mastering it, about choosing not to be driven by it. Because once you start needing praise to keep going, you lose access to your own engine. You stop doing things for their own sake. You start chasing the hit, the comment, the reaction, the nod of approval, and your sense of direction becomes blurry, because it's no longer about what you believe is right. It's about what they believe is impressive. Think of it this way. If your effort stops the moment it goes unnoticed, then it was never rooted in you. It was rented from someone else's attention. And that's not discipline, that's dependency. Now imagine the opposite. You wake up, you train, you work, you create. No post, no announcement, no acknowledgement, just quiet repetition, just internal standards, just self-respect. That kind of effort doesn't require an audience. It creates results. And those results, they speak when it matters. The strongest people you know, they've been showing up in silence for years. They didn't wait to be applauded. They didn't need anyone to tell them they were doing well. They built the muscle of consistency, of purpose, of clarity, while no one noticed. And that's what made them unshakable. Not the praise, but the detachment from it. So how do you train this mindset? You practice letting praise pass through you like wind. You receive it without needing it. You say thank you and return to the work. You remind yourself daily, I'm not here to be impressive. I'm here to be aligned. And most of all, you watch your own patterns. If you feel the energy dip when you don't get noticed, pause. Don't punish yourself, but recalibrate, re-anchor. Because your worth is not found in being seen, it's found in being consistent when unseen. So ask yourself, would I still show up if no one praised me? Would I still train, still write, still serve, still grow, if the room stayed silent forever? Because when the answer is yes, you've moved from noise to strength, from performing to becoming. And that kind of power It's not loud, it's untouchable. 8. Let results be your voice. You don't have to announce what you're building. You don't have to prove your worth through speeches, status updates, or perfectly crafted declarations. If what you're doing is real, if it's rooted in clarity, aligned with purpose, and backed by discipline, the results will speak for you, loudly, quietly, irrefutably. This is the Stoics' code. Let your work do the talking. Marcus Aurelius didn't post progress updates on his virtues. He lived them. He wrote in private, acted in silence, and left behind a legacy not because he broadcast it, but because he embodied it. That's the difference. The person who seeks applause speaks first. The person who builds speaks last. Or not at all. Think about it. When someone truly changes, do they need to explain it? You can feel it in their presence, their energy, their consistency. No campaign, no announcement, just quiet, sustained evidence. Their results walk into the room before they do, and suddenly everything is different. This is not about pride, it's about direction. When you use energy trying to be understood, trying to convince people to believe in what you're doing, you leak power. You shift your focus from building to branding, from integrity to image. And that shift, even if it feels small, will always pull you off course, because it turns your work into performance instead of purpose. Let's be honest, the temptation to explain is strong, especially when you're growing in ways that others can't yet see, especially when you're breaking patterns they're still living in. But explaining your growth to people who aren't ready to hear it is like yelling into the wind. It changes nothing and exhausts you in the process. The Stoic strategy: don't explain. Building, build better boundaries, build healthier habits, build stronger focus, and let those things do the talking, not with noise, but with weight. Let your presence, calm, grounded, consistent, become your proof. Think of the builder who lays bricks every day. She doesn't need to say a word. One day, a house stands behind her, solid, real. That's what your discipline does over time. It creates results so undeniable that no one needs convincing. And more importantly, you don't need convincing, because you've seen what silence, effort, and patience can create. So if you feel the pull to justify, to post, to prove, pause. Remind yourself, the most powerful words are the ones you don't have to say. Let your fitness speak through your energy. Let your learning speak through your wisdom. Let your healing speak through your peace. Let your results walk into the room and say everything for you. So ask yourself now, am I building or just broadcasting? Am I moving in silence or waiting to be seen before I move? Because the Stoic doesn't move to impress, they move to build. And once it's built, there's nothing left to prove. 9. Master your emotions before they master you. Your mind is a kingdom, and emotions are its visitors. They arrive unannounced. Anger bangs at the door. Pride slips in through the cracks. Anxiety whispers from the shadows. And if you're not careful, they don't just visit. They take over. They start making decisions. They steer the car. And before you know it, you're saying things you regret, doing things you can't explain, and wondering how you lost control. The Stoics never said, "Don't feel." They weren't robots. They felt deeply, but they refused to be ruled by those feelings. Their discipline came not from suppression, but from command. Epictetus taught, "It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters." And that principle, that razor-sharp gap between stimulus and response, is where freedom lives. Because emotions aren't the enemy, but undisciplined emotions, those are dangerous. Anger becomes destruction. Fear becomes paralysis. Desire becomes distraction. Left unchecked, they hijack your values. They bend your actions away from who you want to be and into who you swore you'd never become. Think about how many good intentions die at the hands of emotion. You wanted to respond with patience, but your pride snapped first. You planned to stay disciplined, but your anxiety convinced you otherwise. You wanted to forgive, but resentment felt more powerful in the moment. That's not weakness. That's a lack of emotional strategy. So what's the Stoic approach? Feel everything. Obey nothing. Let the emotion rise. Observe it. Study it. Don't rush to push it away, but don't hand it the keys either. Let it burn without letting it scorch your future. The Stoic doesn't suppress the fire. They hold it. They use it. It becomes warmth, focus, fuel, not flames. It starts with awareness. The moment you feel triggered, pause. Breathe. Ask, what part of me is being threatened right now? My ego or my essence? You'll be surprised how often your emotional reactions are just unexamined fears dressed up as truth. And from there, redirect. Not with force, but with discipline. Anger can become clarity. Fear can become preparation. Sadness can become depth. But only if you take control before the emotion does. In practice, this means journaling when your mind feels cloudy, moving your body when emotion gets trapped, speaking less when your feelings are loud, creating rituals that ground you, morning routines, quiet walks, stillness after conflict. These are not luxuries. They are tools, shields, anchors. Because once your emotions master you, they define your life. But once you master them, you define yourself. So ask, what emotion tends to control me most? And what would it look like to feel it without feeding it? The Stoic doesn't run from emotion. They rise above it, with awareness, with patience, with inner command. Because the goal isn't to become numb. The goal is to stay in the driver's seat, no matter who tries to grab the wheel. 10. No complaints, only adjustments. Complaining is seductive. It makes you feel temporarily powerful, like you're taking a stand, like you're highlighting injustice, like you're being honest about how unfair life is. But in truth, most complaining is not a signal of strength. It's a leak. A drain of energy, a surrender of power, because while you complain, nothing changes. You don't get stronger, you don't get sharper, you just stall. The Stoics had no time for complaints, not because they didn't suffer, they did, deeply, but because they knew suffering didn't give you permission to surrender your agency. Seneca wrote, "A man is as unhappy as he has convinced himself he is." And that's the hidden truth behind most complaints. They're not about what's happening. They're about your choice to focus on it instead of fixing it. To live like a Stoic is to replace complaints with adjustments. Something's not working. Good. That's data. Change direction. Something feels hard. Even better. That's resistance. And resistance is the training ground. Life threw something unexpected at you? Excellent. That's the invitation to grow. But none of that happens while you're ranting about how unfair it is. Let's be clear. Expressing frustration isn't wrong. Venting can be healthy. But living in a state of constant complaint, that's spiritual erosion. It trains your mind to look for what's wrong instead of what can be done. It makes you passive, helpless, a character in your own life instead of the author. Think about how many moments you've wasted complaining about the weather, the traffic, the algorithm, the lack of support, the noise. None of those complaints moved your life forward. None of them built skill or sharpened clarity or strengthened character. They just filled the space where action should have been. Now, think of someone you admire, someone who seems calm under pressure, clear-headed, purposeful. It's not that they've had it easier, it's that they learned early. There's no power in moaning, there's only power in movement. This mindset can be trained. Start with the small things. The moment you hear yourself complain, stop, take one breath. Then ask, what's one thing I can do right now to adjust? Not to fix everything, just to shift, to reclaim control. Then do it again and again until your reflex becomes action, not reaction. This shift from complaint to adjustment is the foundation of stoic resilience. It doesn't mean you accept everything. It means you confront everything with clarity, not noise. So ask yourself, what's the thing I keep complaining about but haven't changed? What energy am I wasting on noise that could be redirected into movement? Because every complaint is a missed opportunity, and every adjustment, it's another brick in the house of your self-respect. Complain less, adjust faster. That's how you stay in motion, even when the world tries to slow you down. 11. Own only what you can control. There's a weight we all carry, but most of it isn't ours. We worry about what others think. We try to fix what's out of reach. We internalize things we didn't cause, can't change, and were never responsible for. And little by little, that weight drags us down. Not because life is heavy, but because we're holding what was never ours to begin with. The Stoics drew a clear line between what is within our control and what is not. And to them, peace, real, grounded, resilient peace, was only found on the side of that line where you hold the reins, your thoughts, your actions, your words, your attitude, that's yours. Everything else? The weather, other people's opinions, the economy, the past, that's not yours. That's not your domain. Epictetus put it plainly, some things are up to us and some things are not. That single sentence can set you free if you have the discipline to live it. Think about how often your stress comes from things you can't control. A delay, a criticism, a rejection. You react as if reacting will change it. You carry it as if carrying it will fix it. But it doesn't. It just robs you of clarity. It clouds your judgment. And worst of all, it distracts you from the one place where your power actually lives, your response. To live as a Stoic is to constantly ask, is this mine to hold? If yes, own it fully. No excuses, no deflection, just full accountability. But if it's not yours, release it. Not because it doesn't matter, but because it doesn't belong in your hands. This mindset is radical in its simplicity. You're anxious about how someone perceives you? Ask yourself, did I act with integrity? If yes, let it go. You're frustrated by circumstances? Ask yourself, what part of this can I influence? Focus only on that. The rest? Irrelevant noise. You're upset at yourself for how something turned out? Ask, did I give my best with what I knew at the time? Learn, adjust, move. It's not indifference. It's clarity. And clarity is freedom. When you take responsibility only for what's yours, your effort, your principles, your words, your life simplifies. The mental clutter fades. You stop being a prisoner of other people's moods and choices. You stop reacting to everything. You start choosing how to show up, how to move forward, how to lead yourself. And that, right there, is what freedom actually is. Not controlling the world, but refusing to let the world control you. So ask yourself, what am I currently carrying that doesn't belong to me? What would my day feel like if I focused only on what's in my hands and let go of the rest? Because freedom doesn't begin when you gain control. It begins the moment you stop needing it and take full ownership of what's already yours. Shut the door on distraction, pick up your responsibility, and move forward, lighter, sharper, stronger. 12. Live like no one is watching, because they aren't. You think they're watching, you think they're judging, you think everyone's paying attention to your mistakes, your progress, your transformation, but here's the quiet truth, they're not. Most people are too busy thinking about themselves, their worries, their image, their story. And once you realize that, once you feel the full freedom of being unobserved, everything changes. You stop performing, you start living. The Stoics lived as if the world was silent, as if the only observer that mattered was within, because they knew that morality, discipline, and purpose weren't for display, they were for direction. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself, "Be indifferent to what makes no difference." And the gaze of others? Their fleeting approval or passing judgment, that makes no difference to the soul that knows itself. But many of us still live like the camera's always on. We hesitate before taking a step, fearing what others might think. We adjust ourselves to fit in, even when it betrays our core. We censor our growth so it doesn't make others uncomfortable. And without realizing it, we become a version of ourselves made not from truth, but from performance. This is the trap. When you believe someone's always watching, you live to be understood. You over-explain, you over-correct, you overthink. But when you remember the truth that most eyes are facing inward, not outward, you can finally release the pressure. You can reclaim the space to grow imperfectly, to stumble freely, to rise without needing a witness. Living like no one is watching doesn't mean living recklessly. It means living with integrity, doing the right thing not for applause, but because it's aligned. Choosing discipline not because it looks good, but because it feels right. And most of all, building a life that makes sense to you, even if no one else gets it. Let's be honest, this world is noisy. It tries to pull you into comparison, into performance, into the endless loop of approval seeking. But the Stoic breaks that loop with a single decision. I will live for truth, not attention. So what does that look like? You follow your morning routine, even when it's invisible. You keep your promises to yourself, even when no one checks in. You speak less. You react less. You move slower. Not to impress, but to align. Because that's what real power is. Integrity without audience. Peace without permission. Movement without marketing. So ask yourself, what would I do differently if I truly believed no one was watching? What choices have I delayed because I feared misunderstanding? Because once you let go of the imaginary crowd, you stop living for applause and start living with presence. No performance, no pretending, just practice, just presence, just you, becoming. Real power doesn't need an audience. It doesn't need applause, approval, or permission. It moves in silence. It grows in solitude. It rises without announcement. That's the Stoic way. Not to be seen, but to be solid. Not to impress, but to embody. And in a world obsessed with noise, performance, and visibility, that kind of inner power is rare and unstoppable. These 12 principles aren't just ideas. They're anchors. They're tools for reclaiming your energy from the opinions of others, for building a life rooted in action, not announcement, for letting your results speak while you stay grounded in your work, your vision, your silence. Because the moment you stop performing, you start progressing. The moment you stop explaining, you start becoming. And the moment you stop needing to be watched, you become truly free. So here's your invitation. Protect your focus. Withdraw your energy from noise. Return to your rhythm, your code, your path. And live like no one's watching. Not because they aren't, but because it doesn't matter anymore. If this episode spoke to something quiet but powerful inside you, share it with someone who's ready to rise in silence. And if you're walking this path, not loudly but with calm intention, you're not alone. Keep building. Keep showing up. Let the world wonder where your strength comes from. It comes from within.